This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings, Dan Devone, back in the set.
Started.
Getting you set for Game 3 tonight, 5:30, 4:30 Warriors Live. Tim Roy has the call with Tom Tolbert at tip, all right here on 95.7 The Game. This is what it's all about. The Warriors with a chance to get the upper hand in the series. The Rockets trying to steal one on the road. Can they grab home court back? This is when it gets fun. It just is.
Kind of surprised with the FU Draymond chant broken out in Houston. Didn't foresee that coming.
I think that might be the most probable thing. I guess Houston doesn't have anything against Draymond, but he's right. And Steve Kerr was also right, I think, talk about it after the game.
Draymond had a great line.
It's unoriginal.
Yeah, totally.
That's Boston's thing, man. Houston,
come stronger than that.
You ain't that guy, pal. Like, that fan base is not hard enough. They don't care about the Rockets. Houston, God love Houston, Texas. It's actually my favorite city in Texas. Austin's up there.
Austin?
Austin's up there, but Austin's a little bit, they've been a late bloomer. Like, you went to Austin 10, 15 years ago, not what it is now, although it's cool. Houston, I got family there, got a lot of love for Houston. It's not a sports town. It's just not. Like, they like college basketball, college football, and everything professional is on the back burner. The Houston Texans, we like them when they're good. The Houston Rockets, we got some love for Olajuwon and, you know, when they were winning championships in the 90s. They're just solid squad. T-Mac, we got some guys there. They don't care enough to say F you, Draymond. You cannot put yourself in the category of a hardcore fan base like
that. Come stronger than that. Be original. It's like, you know, but it's all those podunk cities. Sorry, Houston, but OKC is the same way. They're playing Edwin Diaz's trumpet throughout the entire game. I mean, come on. Belongs to the Mets. OKC, by the way, when you see them sitting there, it reminds me of those games back in the days of the Iron Curtain and, like, you know, communist Russia. Where everybody's in those blue shirts. Like, you've seen videos of that where everybody's like, you know, everybody's sitting. It's almost like it's militant. Don't stand. Everybody's sitting in the same position, all wearing the exact same shirt. And it's like, where are we? OKC, Houston, give me some originality.
Well, I will give OKC some credit. That's a raucous environment. Because I think that the Thunder fans legitimately care about that
Sonics,
team.
Sonics, man. Come on.
Well, yeah, and that's... Seattle's going to get another team somehow, some way, eventually.
Vegas will first, but...
Yeah. Well, hopefully they add two at a time, because I think the last thing you'd want is an odd amount of teams, although I don't know which one would move into the other conference. Maybe you can finally put Memphis in the East the way it's supposed to be.
By the way, tonight, just in case Jimmy Butler's not available, and maybe Pajemski's not available... And Steve Kerr's looking down that bench like, my God, I'm running out of players. Who am I going to play? I do think that there's a strong chance that he can call on Shedeur Sanders tonight.
He's available. Oh, man. You know what, actually? Real quick on an aside. I'm starting to feel bad for that kid.
You're saying possible. Like, I never thought I'd say I feel sorry for the Sanders, but...
Excuse me.
Seems like a good dude.
I don't know about that, but it's one of those things where... okay, like the joke and the fun is over. Can somebody please pick this kid? Like he can't be this bad. He can't be worse than some of these quarterbacks that are getting picked ahead of. I don't know. All right, get us back on track. Scott's in Berkeley. Let's go out to B-Town. Berserkly. Scotty, what's up?
Gentlemen, good morning. I think from the last sequence, from the last segment, you're right about Moody.
Scott, can I cut you off, my man? From this point forward,
go ahead.
After that stick you had last week, can we just call you Panama Lewis, or can that be your handle from now on?
That was pretty good.
No.
Okay.
Hell no. Never. I will never be associated with a scuzzbag like that.
Whoa, I got you going. All right, brother, keep going.
Yeah, don't poke the bear, Dan.
Well, it's got to be, to me, it's got to be Moody, because we keep forgetting Moody and Kuminga were in the same class. And Moses has always been the adult. I think the problem I think I've developed with Kuminga is that when he comes in, regardless of whether you get good Jonathan or bad Jonathan, he's really the Bermuda Triangle. The ball sticks with him, and you know, it just kind of disrupts everything. Now, insofar as Kerr playing him or not playing him, I mean, Steve's been going through this since last summer in Paris with the Jason Tatum thing and Dave Portnoy's complaints about him not being in the rotation.
I was kind of sports shout out.
I was kind of like listening to that, and it's like, what? You know, Derek White and Drew Holiday being in the rotation wasn't enough. in a way, my mind is going, Jimmy's got to go tonight. I suspect he's going to try, and if he feels good, even though has this been the postseason of tailbone injuries or hip injuries? Because guys are getting up in the air and they're getting blasted and they're landing on that. And you know, the tailbone injury is the worst thing in the world because it's like it shocks you up to your shoulders and down to your ankles. I hope Jimmy goes tonight.
What I think is going to happen, and I hope it doesn't, is that because you're already seeing enough of this. Like, you know, Ant-Man, Ja Morant, it's part of the reason why they're shooting threes. And I think the league shoots too many threes. But I think that this is going to make the case of why you don't drive to the paint, why it is that you don't want to break down a defense. And I think it's going to create even more of an influence as to why some of these superstars are going to continue to shoot threes. And I don't think that's good for the sport.
Well, the simple answer is not so much the three. Let's take a look at Kawhi Leonard and him rumbling around and getting mid-range.
Yeah, no, that's a good point, Scott. Sorry, go for it.
You know, I mean, you know, it's like guys have just forgotten mid-range or the cursed long two. But it's, you know, especially when you got to get, you know, when you got a guy like that in that series just rumbling around on the Nuggets and, you know, shooting stuff at the free throw line. Quick notes about the other series. In a way, when you guys were talking about the Lakers and the Timberwolves, I'm beginning to think the Timberwolves are winning that series.
Basically because
the Lakers don't have any size. And secondly, if you're relying on a 40-year-old man, regardless of what kind of shape he's in, you have an issue. Now, I'll give the Lakers this much credit. The one thing about the Luka deal that has helped them, that really has kind of like given the franchise back to Genie and Pelinka, is that they now have a future after LeBron, if LeBron ever decides to leave. Yep. It's going to take some time to rebuild around that. And of course, the other thing was privately, I don't think LeBron was real happy about that deal when it was made because he realized suddenly it ain't his team no more.
I got you, Scotty. Appreciate it. We want to get some other people in here at 888-957-9570. All fair points. I think, look, I mean, for me to and kind of to go back to his original point and what we were talking about earlier, this game tonight is going to come down to, I think, Dan, really, this is a game where the Warriors' young talent must grow up. You need Moody, Pajemski, Post, and potentially Kuminga. they've got to match the talent of a young Rockets team. I thought we saw Houston mature between game one and game two. Obviously, the most obvious example of that was Jalen Green. You need one of your younger players now, especially if Jimmy Butler is not available tonight, to take the next step. Because if we're asking who's going to step up, who needs to be the X factor, it's got to be one of those guys. I know that Draymond can obviously play better. Steph is going to try and do his thing. But the Rockets are going to place pressure on the people that have not been in that situation before. And that is the 25 and unders. One of those guys has got to make a play.
And it's Jonathan Kuminga, I think. Again, he's at the front of that line. And we can talk a lot more about him. Let's open up the phone lines.
All right, let's go to Sean in Petaluma, has an X factor for us. Sean, how we doing? Good morning.
Hey, good. How are you guys doing? Good morning.
Fantastic.
Just want to say the X factor, I mean, to me, is basically kind of the collective of the role players. But I would say, honestly, it is Buddy Hield. Because his defense, he has, like, moments where he, like, has a play where it's just like, okay, like, that saved us. But, man, if he could just make a couple more of those threes, we would be in such a better position. Thanks. Have a good one.
I mean, I agree.
Yeah, and if my aunt had testicles, she'd be my uncle. I mean, it ain't happening.
Who are you? Who are you?
I'm just saying, yeah, if he could make some of those threes, but he can't.
And if it was a fifth, we'd all be slammed right now. I mean, no, I'm with you, but I do think it's fair to ask whether it's Pajemski, who's, again, he's supposedly not ill tonight, doesn't have that stomach bug that he was dealing with in game two. Moody, I think, is, you got to have your feet wet at this point in the series. He's played, gosh, big minutes in both these games. You need those guys to play aggressive. And I know that you're playing with a lot of OGs, and Steph has now played in about 150 playoff games, and Draymond a little less, and Jimmy obviously a ton, but you cannot rely on those guys to make every single play. And I think that Pods and Moody specifically, because they're both starters, they're not afraid necessarily of the moment, but this is a game at home. You're going to have the crowd behind you. You don't have to worry about the F you Draymond chance or, you know, people trying to test you and the Rockets feeling good in the South. No, no, no. Home crowd's going to be there for you. It's going to be raucous tonight. Go out and seize it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was thinking about some original chants the Warriors can come up with tonight. Instead of like when Steph's at the line, MVP. He's not going to be the MVP this year. Yeah, I know. He's Steph.
Well, there's a couple.
Here's what they ought to do.
There's a couple for Udoka that my friends have sent in a group chat, and I don't know if they're for radio.
You know what they ought to do is that when either Kuminga or Buddy Hield goes to line, you get a MDP chant, most disappointing player.
NDP?
Yeah. I think we're sort of dancing around the issue, but let's get into it.
Let's do it.
I think Kuminga has, first of all, we could talk about his performance in game two. I think Kuminga certainly has the resume of being the guy. Again, you need points from someone not named Steph if Butler can't go. Can Jonathan Kuminga be the guy? Again, here we go again. I don't want to be a guy that's the apologist for Jonathan Kuminga. I'm just looking at the state of affairs of the Golden State Warriors. I criticize Jonathan Kuminga as much as anybody on this show. I mean, there were times where, you know, like, coach would call me up and just go after me because I pointed out how he missed that rotation on that buzzer beater by Austin Reeves to the Los Angeles Lakers. And the fact that defensively he has his heads in the cloud, it's not on the on-the-ball defense, it's knowing about rotations. But right now, where you're at, you're not trading for anybody, all right? You're not picking anybody up. This is who you have, and he has the resume of scoring the basketball. Now, he's clearly in his head. He is clearly a guy that is thinking about, I've got to make sure that I get other people involved, that if I miss a shot, I don't have the liberty of missing two or three in a row. He is, the one thing that I do want to point out, because I heard this, And a lot of people are saying he doesn't care, or he comes into games and he's smiling, or he just doesn't get the level of importance. He doesn't understand. Listen, I think this guy was as shocked as anybody. He got the message from Steve Kerr that when he didn't, this is the third leading scorer on the basketball team. This is a guy that thought he was eyeing a potentially $35 to $38 million contract. It's all on the line. And then he gets, not only does he not play, but he's DMP'd for the most important part of the games. He's DMP'd for the postseason. He gets them. He understands the importance. I think his body language sometimes gets misinterpreted. But I think when you think about the Golden State Warriors right now and their roster A through Z, Jonathan Kuminga has the potential of being the guy again who can give you those points. I think that if he's going to play, he has to be given the latitude. Somebody has to blow in his ear. We need you tonight, and you're not going to get pulled if you miss your first shot or your first couple of shots. I need you because you have the ability. I know you have the confidence. I need you to take Tari Eason. I need you to take Dylan Brooks. I need you to take whoever's watching you off the dribble, get to the rim and make something happen. You have the ability to puncture that defense. Do it, and do it with some consistency.
Like, I'm with you for the most part. I just wonder if it's fair to expect all of that. Like, in game two, he was thrown into the fire. I did not expect him to play well. He did not play well. That is a situation where it's like, dude, you've got three DMPs in a row. Go out there and try and make something happen. He didn't. Doesn't shock me whatsoever. The issue now is that in game three, if Jimmy Butler does not play tonight, you are going to need to play him. That's 42 minutes available, which is what Jimmy played in game one. Kuminga's going to get a lot of those minutes. And to your point, I actually think he's going to get some rope because there's just not many people on the roster that you can give those minutes to. I also think they're going to have to trust him the way that they trusted him before Butler got there. And it's been a long time since he's been that player. That's, again, why when I'm talking about growing up, you got to do it fast. And that is really, really hard. I actually don't want to see Kuminga smile tonight. If he plays, and I actually think, I'll say this, if Butler doesn't play, I think there's a very good chance Kuminga starts tonight. I don't want to see him smile at all. This is not the time to be feeling happy or trying to make yourself feel better about playing or having fun. No, no, no. That team on the other end is trying to rip your freaking head off.
I think he knows that.
I don't want to see teeth tonight from Kuminga. I'm serious. I want to see however mean Jonathan Kuminga can get as a basketball player on the floor if he's allowed to play and get run and get an opportunity to help this team. That's the player that he has to be. I don't want to see happy-go-lucky JK tonight. I want to see the toughest, tenacious version of him that he has to offer.
Well, that's sort of my point. I don't think he's happy-go-lucky. I think that that's sort of the misinterpretation. I think that's sort of a narrative people are buying into.
No, I think he is a nice guy.
No, but he's a nice guy. But my point is that after what it is that he's going through at a young age, he's got the wake-up call. There's nothing nonchalant or there's nothing happy-go-lucky or this is just another game. He recognizes that I've got to do something. Like, I just got slapped in the face. He's not accustomed to this. People have been opening doors for this guy. They recognize his talent. They talk about him being a star. And he's sitting. He got it. There is nothing that he doesn't understand at this point. So I think when people, it's a bit of a misinterpretation. I didn't really see him smile, but I don't. He knows the importance of what's in front of him, not only with Houston but his entire career. And that's a bit much because he's so young. There's going to be a lot of peaks and valleys and ebb and flow between now and whenever it is that he hangs it up. But he's still, again, much like that of last week. And when I talk about Jonathan Kuminga, has the potential, the one guy, of giving you the sort of points that you were talking about.
Yeah, no, look, I'm not trying to say literally can't express himself, but the point is I feel like Jonathan, and this is one of the, oftentimes his comments are misconstrued, and he's portrayed as like this malcontent. And I think he's the opposite. I think he is a very nice individual. I think he's a respectful human being, almost to a fault sometimes with the way that, you know, he's kind of been jockeyed around, and he finally came out after the game and said, "I'm tired of people telling me to stay ready." That kind of edge, that chip on your shoulder, I don't see him play with that all the time. Sometimes he does, like against the Lakers. He was ferocious. That's the version that the Warriors will need tonight if they're going to win without Jimmy. And again, Butler could play. Kuminga could be resignated to the bench. I'm not sure. But if he does get an opportunity to get run tonight and to help this team, I think that he has to be at a different level. And so that emotional jubilance that he often displays, you know, I think he's got to put that in his back pocket tonight. Because the other thing, too, is like Houston's going to try and beat him up. Houston is going to try to do to Jonathan Kuminga what they are trying to do with the Warriors as a whole, which is make them feel them, get in their jersey, get them to soften up a little bit. And he's got to play. This is the playoffs, man. This is. And he's a little bit behind the eight ball because he hasn't had the chance to really play much in these big moments and in big games because he's been DMP'd. So he's got to grow up quickly.
You know who Moses Scurry is?
I don't know. Is he from the 1930s? Is he playing pinstripes and he's part of a ballet?
He
I don't know.
He used to be this forward or center that played for Jerry Tarkanian at UNLV and then won a national championship. And every time he grabbed the rebound, he'd have this primal yell that you could hear throughout the entire gym. There could be 25,000 people. You could hear Moses Scurry every rebound. Ah! I want to hear that from Jonathan Kuminga. Like, I almost feel as though he needs a therapist on the defensive end. Let it out. Scream. Take a charge and scream. Let it go. Be a dog. Let's get to the phone lines.
All right, Pasta's on the phone right now. So in the meantime, this is from our YouTube chat, everyone's worst nightmare. All Curry does is smile and play soft, but Kuminga can't smile, stop the JK hate. You're right, Curry does play with joy. But in these kinds of games, I think Curry's the guy that is screaming the most. Like, Curry is demonstrative. He's playing rough. And when he's off the court, he's the nice guy. In the regular season, you'll see him smile sometimes. But in playoff basketball, Curry's actually the one I feel like yells the most. He's the one that flexes his muscles and tries to get the crowd into it and grits his teeth. That's what I'm talking about. The expression, the emotion should not be manifested itself. And it's like, I just feel like we're not here to have fun at this point in the season. We're here to win. And that's the message that Steve Kerr has set down the rest of his roster. And I think it's the reason why Kuminga hasn't played a whole lot in recent memory. It's because Kerr wants to win. And with Jimmy Butler on the floor, Kerr, doesn't feel like Kuminga gives them the best chance to do it. All right, let's go to Barrow in Oakland. Barrow, what's going on? You're on Warriors This Week. How we doing?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm a long-time listener, more than 30 years, 29. First-time caller. Let's talk about the lineups of the Warriors, which I think should be primary or number one talking point instead of these Kuminga, Butler, Houston is hurting us. Tell me what's wrong with this lineup. And we all know that the Kerr tried like a 3 million lineups, but never this one. Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler as the main ball handler, less double teaming, less turnovers from Steph Curry and more freedom for Steph Curry to do his things that he's doing all these years.
All right. Appreciate the call, Barrow. I see everyone on the phone lines, 888-957-9570. I see you, Austin. I see you, George. I see you from the 479. Get in with our guy, Pasta. He'll get you on hold. We'll get you on the other side. But we got to hit a break here on Warriors This Week. Evan Giddings, Dan Devone. We'll be back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Halfway home here on Warriors This Week, getting you set for Game 3 of the Warriors and the Rockets First Round Western Conference Series. Someone's going to have the upper hand after tonight. Obviously, the biggest question is Jimmy Butler and his availability. GP2 also listed as questionable with a shoulder injury. And so, who's it going to be on tonight? Is it going to be squarely on Steph and Draymond? Is it going to be on a hampered Jimmy Butler if he's available to go? Could it be on Jonathan Kuminga, who we've talked about? Moody, Pajemski, Post. The Rockets showed a very different version of themselves in Game 2. I personally believe they got to prove it moving forward that they can do that 4 times out of 7. But I think Dan and I are on the same page. This is going to be a long series, and I'm not sure who that necessarily benefits, but odds are the younger team.
Yeah, well, and then you're saying Houston.
Yeah.
And when you talk about a long series that's going to get this physical, sort of where we started the show, is that what are you going to have left in the tank when it comes to the semifinals? And how much is this going to take out of you when you talk about leaning on Steven Adams, dealing with Sengun, Dylan Brooks hitting you across the chops every other play? Are you going to have enough rest? Are you going to be in the proper frame of mind physically to get to the semis? Because it really does become a battle of attrition from this point forward.
Yeah, and they've been fighting this battle for a long time. Again, this is not just their first, you know, real push. They've been fighting for 2 months now. And that's kind of my, we talked about this when they made the trade for Jimmy Butler. I wasn't worried about, I mean, I don't know if they were going to go 24-6, but like, I mean, if you're playing playoff basketball for 2 months, that's going to take a toll. And then you got to play 2 more months if you want to try and win a championship. And the Warriors are trying to do just that. They are fighting with a feisty young Houston Rockets team. Let's go down to San Jose, bring on our guy, Austin. Austin, good morning. What's up, brother? How you doing?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Great show, as always. Listen, a couple things. One is I think what the challenge is in this series is the youth, but I think they're also unpredictable. And I think Udoka kind of counts on that. I mean, for a veteran team like the Warriors, I think they'd rather play a team that's more predictable, like a Boston or someone you kind of know what you're dealing with. What makes Houston dangerous is that they're unpredictable. I mean, you mentioned the first game they came out and Jalen Green couldn't hit anything. The next game, the guy comes out and really shows his talent. Brooks is capable. Dylan's capable of shooting a lot better. So I think you can expect him. And then Sengun, I hate to admit it, but the Warriors don't really have an answer for him. I mean, it's a very bad matchup for Draymond. They're still trying to get on the Draymond skin, so he's got to fight to keep that temper of his under control. So I think Udoka is really coaching a real smart series up to this point. And the first game, you know, got the Warriors fans are talking about a sweep after they won that game. I mean, Steph Curry made 2 impossible shots. Now, I know Steph can make them, but 2 of those shots were just like, come on, man. So that game was a lot closer. The first game was a lot closer than I think Warrior fans would want to admit. So I see this series going 6, 7, maybe 7. And if it goes 7, guys, all bets are off. I mean, because that'll be back in Houston, I think. So I think it's easily going to go 6. Tonight's game was a toss-up, even with Butler. I don't know that, you know, when Butler was on the court, Houston was still winning the game.
Yeah.
So I know that Jimmy Butler makes a big difference. I think the Jimmy Butler factor guy showed itself when he left because they got disorganized again. The Warriors looked like the Warriors before he came. And to Dan's point, who's going to shoot? The guys didn't want to shoot all of a sudden. They were indecisive. Moody got back to being the old Moody where he didn't know whether he wanted to take a shot or pass it. Pozinski was sick. But if we're relying on Pozinski to cover that, I think we're in trouble. I don't believe he's that kind of a shooter. Final thing on Jonathan Kuminga, guys. I feel like we're beating a dead horse. But the only thing I'll say about Jonathan, I've been on record to say I think the organization is as culpable as Jonathan. We can talk about JK and whether he shows up, what he needs to do. But they've put this young guy in a really bad situation in terms of performance. He's expected to go out and hit it out of the park when everybody else is allowed to make mistakes. I think they just bungled this whole thing. And I can't say it's just Kerr. I'm going to blame the whole war organization. One, they drafted him. And two, it was up to them to develop him after 4 years. You're telling me this guy should be playing. He should be challenging Jalen Green. He should be covering Jalen Green. He shouldn't be coming in as a backup at this point. So that's kind of where I'm at with Jonathan. Guys, I'll keep listening. Great show as always. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it, Austin. I mean, I think from the development standpoint,
he's out on Pajemski as much as you are. That's saying a lot.
No, I'm not on Pajemski. I'm not on Pods like I'm in on Buddy. You know, it's a little tongue in cheek. I actually think that Pods has a chance to be a swing player in this game because I realize that you don't want to depend on him to be your third scorer potentially, but he had a stretch for that last month of the season where he was shooting the hell out of the basketball, and he makes the Warriors very difficult to beat if he's shooting 40% from 3-point range. I don't know if he could do it for a long time, but I don't think it's out of the question that Pods can knock down three or four in this game tonight, especially if he's 100%.
Yeah, no, they're going to need everybody. They're going to certainly need him. You know, hearing Austin reminded me, because I think we both are a bit culpable here, because I agreed with him at the time, and Austin's one of our favorites here because he knows what's up. But he pointed out about a month ago how Jimmy Butler didn't have the same lift. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
He's like, Jimmy Butler just doesn't have the same lift.
No, he was pretty high when he came down and hit his ass.
And that's the point I want to make, is that I think that was true early on. And I think we have to keep in mind he missed nearly like 2 months of the season. But just before the injury the other night, he was becoming Jimmy Butler again offensively. Like, I think the first month when he was with the Warriors, despite the fact that they pivoted and were playing so well, Jimmy Butler was being a guy who was, he was trying to get everybody else involved almost to a fault. Certainly he created an identity and he brought the defensive presence. But I think that he just, you know, the idea of passing out when he was so deep in the paint, the last maybe 10 days, coincidentally, when the postseason, the play-in started, this dude has become the Jimmy Butler that we're all very intimately familiar with when it comes to playoff Jimmy. He is scoring at a high volume, giving you those 25 to 30 points, and then doing all the other things he was doing that first month of the season. And that explosion we were talking about, the lift, I think that returned to his game as well.
I am worried, though, if he plays tonight. And there were kind of conflicting reports, right? Yesterday, before Steve Kerr's presser, Shams Charania of ESPN mentioned serious jeopardy. That's what Jimmy Butler's status or his availability was. It was in serious jeopardy for game three. Steve Kerr comes out yesterday, says he's relatively optimistic at the podium, but we'll see. Game time decision. I am afraid that no matter what, he's not going to be at 100%. And that full lift that we've seen the first couple of games, I don't know if it's going to be there. And what kind of player is Jimmy Butler? Now, he, to me, is a guy that impacts so many other parts of the game that if he's not as aggressive offensively, he can still help you. Defense, rebounding, he can move the ball. But they're at their best when Jimmy is aggressive. They're at their best when Jimmy is getting 15 to 20 shots up or 15 to 20 scoring opportunities, getting to the free throw line, all the rest. You know, if he can't be that guy, how does he play? How does he still help the Warriors? That's a question that I have for this game. And I think, you know, like, you know, to Austin's point, the Warriors are who they are. You know, they have won with a particular formula that has included Jimmy Butler, and that's who they've really relied on. If they don't have him tonight, I'm not really sure how they're going to look, because they have leaned so much into this reliance on Butler playing 38, 37 minutes a night, 40 plus minutes a night, that in a way in game two, when he went out, it was like they were stripped of their identity. And if he's not available tonight, they have to figure out how to get that back very quickly.
I think Steve Kerr has certainly based this on nothing more than just listening to Steve Kerr press conferences throughout the years. There's a weird sort of sense of confidence, I think, that he has that he can beat Houston. I think there's, I think Steve Kerr feels as though the Warriors can handle the Houston Rockets. And I also would take it a step further. And I think Steve Kerr, I think he truly believes he can. You only need one. You're only going to need, I think, one of these games without Butler. And you get to win one of these games. And I think Steve Kerr thinks his Warrior team can do that. Now, how is that going to shake out? Is it going to be Pajemski who's going to erupt? Is it going to be Moses Moody finally looking at the rim and attacking the rim like he was about a month ago? Is it Jonathan Kuminga that suddenly has a break? I'd love to see that, where he goes nuts for another 33 as he's done previously against this Houston Rocket team. But I do think that he, like, you don't know until you actually play. You hear about the preview, you talk about it, you have the 4 days off, you're thinking about Houston. And then once the ball is tipped and once you play a game and you get your feet wet, I think you'd be able to better understanding and assessment as to who the 2025 Houston Rockets are. And now that they've showed their hand, I don't know, could be wrong. I think Steve Kerr just has this, you know, after watching this guy so many times, I just get the sense that he's like, we're going to be okay. We'll get past Houston.
I think the entire Warriors team believes that they're better than Houston. How the Rockets, like game one to game two, they were a different squad, but on paper, the Warriors are a better team. I believe that, and I think the Warriors believe that, which is why also this game is, it's important, but I don't view it as a must win. Like, in fact, I think Jimmy Butler is the kind of player that...
Well, they're all must wins, though, to me.
No, they're not. They're I mean, not literally.
Well, like, yeah, unless you're down 3-1 or 3-0, it's a must win.
I think game two is a must win for Houston. If you lose that game, this series, it's the writing's on the wall. The Warriors are not afraid of going down 2-1. They have come back from down 2-1, I believe, against Sacramento a couple of years ago in the first round series.
Maybe not must win, but
they're down 2-1 against Boston in the finals.
But the level of importance, I don't think any, and this isn't what you're saying, that any Warriors thinking, well, if we lose tonight, it's not the end of the world. Like, I don't think that's in the mindset, certainly any of the Warriors. I think every single game, maybe it's not a must win, quote, air quotes, but every game is effing huge.
No, I'm not trying to downplay the importance of it, but I think that the Warriors, especially their top three players, are like, all right, let's go get this game. But if we don't, we're not dead. In fact, if Jimmy Butler doesn't play in this game, and I hear you 510, by the way, on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line, Jimmy's injury is not serious at all. It's all hype. It's an effing bruise. Yeah, it's a deep glute bruise. But if Jimmy doesn't play tonight, which there is a possibility of, by the way, Steph missed a week with the same injury. Kuminga missed a game with the same injury. Butler's so damn competitive that even if he missed two games, I bet he's like, we're winning this series. Like, remember last year when he was on Miami, which was kind of the beginning of the end with him and Pat Riley? He's like, if I'm playing, we're winning, man. Like, Jimmy Butler is so bleeping confident that they could be down 3-0 in a series, and he thinks they're winning the next four games. Like, whether it happens or not, it never happened in NBA history. But I don't think the Warriors are dead in the water, and I don't think Jimmy believes that the Warriors are dead in the water if he doesn't play tonight. And they lose, because all they got to do is get one. And I also think that if this series goes seven, home court, there's going to be a lot of pressure on the Houston Rockets. They've never been in that spot before. They're at home. The Warriors have won game sevens on the road, in fact, in Houston before. So I think that this game is one you want to get, one you would love to win. It is not by any means a must-win game for the Golden State Warriors.
By the way, Jimmy, and I'm not talking about Butler, but Jimmy on the 510 on the text line.
Yeah.
It's just an effing bruise. It's not serious at all. My man. I guarantee you, me, Ev, Pasta, we wouldn't get out of bed for a week, 2 weeks. I wouldn't even want to see that thing. That thing must be so sensitive.
It's like a bone bruise right now.
But can you imagine what that looks like, man? I mean, it just must be so painful to do anything right now. But he is right. There is no structural damage, right? Like, it's not a cartilage. It's not like an ACL. It's not, it has nothing to do in terms of a fracture or a break of the pelvic bone. Since when did your ass become a pelvic area?
It's been labeled. They're the Golden State pelvises at this point. It's like Curry's had one, Kuminga's had one, Jimmy Butler's on his, you know, is on his left cheek at this point.
It's not medically though. If you're landing on your butt, isn't there another phrase for it? I guess it's sort of like, I know it's the pelvic area, but he landed on his ass.
His glute.
Yeah, it's a glute injury. Thank you, Paz.
Yeah, it's his ass. He hurt his ass.
Yeah, not his
buttocks.
All right.
That's what Kalena was saying. It's always funny kind of dancing around it. Let's get out to, yeah, we got some time here. Let's go out to North Carolina and talk to Tim, one of our favorites here. Tim, what's going on, man? Good afternoon. How we doing? Timmy. All right, Tim, call.
Oh, Tim, it's game day, for crying out loud.
Tim, call back.
Pasta. Come stronger than that.
All right. All right, Tim, Tim, call back. We can find him down, Pasta.
Oh, is he on?
No, I guess we couldn't find him. He'll call back. He'll be in. Wants to talk about his boy, JK.
I want to get into some JK. You know, really quick, I don't mean to interrupt.
That's your show.
I guess the one thing about, and we have to keep this in mind, I'm such a big fan of Steve Kerr. Now, I know I go after him from time to time. If you do a show like this, you're going to lob some grenades at the head coach. But let's keep in mind, and by the way, Posse, if you get an opportunity, actually, I'll ask you during the break. I do want to play some sound from Steve Kerr going back to January. I believe, was it early January when they lost to Toronto? And we'll play the sound because I'm almost certain that's the game where Steve Kerr basically said, that's on me. They were sub 500. They hit rock bottom. That's the same game in the press conference where you heard Steph Curry basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, saying, hey, listen, man, it's over. There's not one player that's going to come here and turn this thing around, all right? We can't just be throwing around assets. We got younger players. And Steph went as far as to say, we have to think about this when we leave. I mean, that's how bad things were. We can't leave the cupboard bare. Like, it was over for the Warriors. And, of course, we know what happened. There was one player that saved everything. But Steve Kerr also intimated this is on me. The reason why we're not good, I made bad coaching decisions. The reason why I point that out is that as much of a fan as I am of Jonathan Kuminga right now, that I do think he should play, I'll always defer to Steve Kerr. Like, Steve Kerr knows this team intimately much more than I ever will, and he's a guy that has always stood his own convictions, even when things were going wrong. As I mentioned in that game against Toronto back in January, where you were at the bottom rung of the ladder.
Yeah.
And now, even when you're in the playoffs, he's sticking by his own guns of, this is how I do things. So I think at the end of the day, as much as I'll sit here and blow on a live mic that I think Jonathan Kuminga is the one guy who can score, if Steve Kerr's not playing him, it's for a reason.
Well, before we get out to the phone lines, Pasta, can we play that cut from Steve Kerr? Here's the one that DeBone was talking about.
Just didn't get good looks, you know, didn't execute very well, weren't disciplined enough, and that's my fault. I'm the coach of the team. I have to find a way to help this team, and I'm not doing a good job of that. Down the stretch, we're not executing, but that's happening throughout the game at both ends. You know, missed rotations, missed coverages on defense, and then poor possessions offensively. It's on me.
That was from January 13th after the loss to the Toronto Raptors.
And when sub 500, I think they fell down to the 10th seed. You know what? Posse, can you do me a favor? Send that clip to Doc Rivers, wherever he is.
And they won last night.
For the one guy who points a finger at everybody but himself, all those 3-1 series leads that he blew was not his fault.
No, I mean, it's
Ben Simmons.
It's on the play. Well, kind of was on Ben Simmons.
Hey, he's contributing.
Oh, my God. By the way, Doc Rivers, yeah, congratulations on your last playoff win. Took 37 points from Gary Trent Jr. Postseason record, 9 threes for that franchise. All right, let's go go back to the phone lines. Tim is ready. I think we got him here from North Carolina. Timmy, what's up, man?
All right, guys. What's up? Can y'all hear me this time?
Yeah, I got you. Loud and clear.
Okay. Hey, I was agreeing with y'all earlier. I heard DeVone saying it earlier, and I think you, Evan, when you were saying this formula of just heavy reliance on these two guys have kind of got us here. I think this formula get us through this round. I really do. I think big picture, it's going to probably come crashing down, maybe against Minnesota, but definitely against OKC. I mean, and on the Kuminga thing, DeVone, and I hear you, and I don't know. I wouldn't, you know, you're a smart guy. I wouldn't just say, I'm going to totally defer to Kerr on this one. I think, you know, listen, I think the young man's mental stability right now is toast. I mean, guys, this is 3 years in a row that right before the playoffs, you are just getting a yank right out under you. And this one is a little more egregious because it kind of, I mean, it came out of nowhere. Like, so, I, and again, I'm not, I don't, I don't expect nothing from him. If y'all hear him after the game the other day when he was talking with Slater and Kawakami, most of Kuminga's comments was like, you know, trying to keep my mentals good and I not wanting to go out there and mess up. I mean, guys, at this point, I mean, you've played sports, guys, and once your mentals are kind of wavering, and I think he's a mentally tough kid. I mean, I really do. But at this point, guys, I mean, what the hell are you supposed to do, Devone? I mean, yes, third leading scorer, we all agree. But I think just DNPs, boom, 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 like out of nowhere. I mean, not even 5 minutes, not even 10, not even in some way keep a rhythm. You're asking just too much. You're asking too much. The Jonathan Kuminga before the injury, we can't get that guy back. The coach has kind of, he's made a point for the world to see, I don't think I need you. I don't think I need you. And then everyone knows now in his mental mind, oh, now, okay, you do need me, but I really know you don't want me. So, I mean, this is deep, man. This is deep. Even the veterans, like, guys, it goes back to Steph wanting Gee to close that game like 4 or 5 games ago. Kuminga knows Steph don't even really want him out there. Like, guys, it's a mental juggle right now. And again, there's no excuses for the kid. I just don't think at 22 years old, with the way his career has gone here and all of the herky-jerky, I mean, guys, we've seen it. Even when he's filled in admirably for Wiggins 2 of the last 3 years, he filled in phenomenally. What happened as soon as Wiggins came back? His ass was back on the bench. This kid's mental makeup on this team is just a yo-yo. I don't think it's anything left. And I think at this point, it is some closure. It is some finality. And I don't know if anything could be done. Guys, you guys play sports. You know how hard that would be. And imagine a 22-year-old who's kind of been all over the place the way he has. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Look, I think the formula you said, Evan, with, you know, heavy reliance on these two guys, I think that's good enough. We'll get through this one. But the way Minnesota looks right now, they look damn good. But I definitely think it run out when we get to OKC because, you know, we have destroyed our third leading scorer's confidence. And I'm not saying we. I'm just saying kind of the way this happened, the confidence is in the toilet. And it's not going to come back out for these playoffs. It's just too deep, I think. So, all right, fellas. But, Devone, give yourself credit, man. You're a smart guy. Why would you defer, man? I mean, you're making great points. Your third leading scorer completely confident shattered. I don't think you're doing anything wrong kind of questioning the coach on that, man.
Yeah, but don't doubt yourself, Dan.
Let me just clarify. Good call, by the
Thanks,
way.
Thanks, Tim.
Because I couldn't agree with Tim more. While I respect the hell out of Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr knows the team much better than I do, I went on record last week, and I want to continue once again this week just to clarify what it is that I said. Maybe there was some misinterpretation. I get it. I disagree with this wholeheartedly. I disagree of the fact that you're not playing Jonathan Kuminga and Kuminga is not being more relied upon, especially for a team that needs someone to score the basketball. Hello, he's here and he's always been there. So while I'm a Steve Kerr guy, I can also disagree with his decisions. And in this one, I think he's wrong.
That's fair. And hey, look, if Jimmy Butler is out tonight, I think you will get your wish. I think you will see more Jonathan Kuminga, and I'm not sure how it impacts the Warriors, but Kerr is telling us that he doesn't feel confident in him enough to play when Butler's available, and I'm not sure how it's going to manifest itself if and when Kuminga's called upon tonight. But we hope that Jimmy Butler plays because I think he gives the Warriors the best chance to win, and we'll find out. 5:30, 4:30 live here on Warriors Live. On 95.7 The Game, 5:30 tip with Tim Roy and Tom Tolbert. Keep it locked right here. We got one more hour left on Warriors this week, and we got your calls coming on the other side. 888-957-9570. We're back after this.